It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now back to Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen, two guys who still argue about whether or not Mr. Ed could really talk.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we've been talking today about the concepts of setting up different aquariums for people, preparing for our upcoming interview with the folks from the show Tanked. And before the break, we had talked about that you need to put together the right kinds of fish, the right number of fish, and fish that can coexist. But one of the other ingredients that's also a part of that is that the fish have to be healthy, and that's one of the things that Proust does extremely well is through your quarantine program, they make sure that the fish are fine. Why don't you talk a little bit about that whole process that you put fish through when they come into your store?
Well, I think one thing that the listener needs to understand is, you know, some of the fish that we have, thankfully, are raised right in the back room. I'd say 20 to 30% of the fish that go out the door in freshwater, for instance, are raised right in the back door, partly because of this following conversation we're going to have.
Right.
The reality is that fish are being bred right now in Singapore. Fish are being bred right now in pools, oftentimes in sheds and home buildings down in Florida, and then thrown out into ponds for which they rear up into full size or sizes for which you would want to purchase, okay?
Right.
Right now in South America, there are people that live within South America on the riverbanks that actually make a living out of collecting, for instance, cardinal tetras or neon tetras, something that you might be familiar with as a listener. And they're going onto a boat into some wells. They're getting shipped, for instance, to a collection station, and then they actually get shipped to another collection station that has a much bigger international airport down in, let's say, Brazil, okay, in this case, with cardinals, for instance.
Right.
Then they get shipped from there. They need to get shipped to, in this case, Miami, and oftentimes from Miami at a collection or at a holding station, a great holding station, I might say, from our experience, to maybe a distributor, and then from a distributor to us.
Right.
Well, in our case, we actually go right to that import. Made a huge difference in the health of cardinals and neons. But the point I want to make is nearly every fish that doesn't get bred in the back room has this kind of long journey that it's on. And each step in the way, we hope and we commonly find, and over the years it's been that way, we have responsible participants that really do everything possible to make them comfortable.
Right.
But still, if you've done any traveling, if you're going from Brazil to here, how much layover time do you have? How much, you know, they have that same kind of need to accomplish that. They need to get here. So too often I find that the fish are particularly stressed through their journey. Somebody along that chain of custody, and it always has to be me, or it has to be the customer. If there's not a store there that's willing to take on that responsibility, somewhere along the line has to stop and say, "Okay, are you healthy?
Right?
How was the trip? You know, here's your cup of tea, more or less.
Right.
You know, here, relax. You know, everything's good. You know, and so that's what we do in the back room is we actually acclimate them to people walking by. We acclimate them to good feeding habits. We acclimate them and watch that they didn't pick up any problems or diseases or bacterial growths or whatnot. And then once we know that they're healthy, that's when they come up front and we actually have a, you know, it's, you know, $2.99 price tag on them or $19.99 price tag on them. You know, the reality is people need to come in. And what we want to do is just make sure that a fish that leaves the store is always healthy. That's our goal.
Right.
And everything we do is to make sure that if a fish comes in through this long journey, somebody needs to be there to make sure they're healthy. And that's our role. And if the store that you're in, let's say there's somebody that we're talking to in Denver, doesn't actually take that active participating role, they bring them in and they might be available the next day, or you might notice it by just looking at their tanks, okay, and they're not filled with healthy, you know, well-conditioned fish, then you need to set up a separate tank.
Right.
You need to set up, like, yeah, it might be a 10-gallon, depending on what your goals are. It might be a simple tank with a sponge filter and some simple equipment. But you need to either, A, make sure that you're buying them in a situation where they've been kind of conditioned, that they're healthy, that you can expect that. Or if you can't expect that because they're on the long journey and then sold the next day, you need to actually set them up for a week or 2 weeks first before you put them in within your other fish. And the big consequence with that, and what's really important to know, and people kind of like turn the light on when something bad happens like this, or turn the light on because we have a chance to tell them this. If you take a fish that's not in good health and you take it home to your loved one pets, you know, the ones that you care about, the ones that you've selectively picked out, you got a 40-gallon aquarium and you got 20 fish in there and each of them have names and your daughter looks at them with this strong sense of enthusiasm.
Right.
If you bring a fish home that is not in good health and you put it in there, the problem is they're swimming in the same water.
And they're going to expose the other fish.
They expose the other fish to the problem. So we never focus on, is this fish guaranteed?
Right.
You know, because I can take a fish that is not of good health, put it into a tank like that, that is all of good health, guarantee that one fish, and if it dies, replace the fish. That doesn't make any sense. My goal is to make sure that that one fish that she buys, that she's connected with, that she's going to put into her 40-gallon tank is always healthy. And when it's healthy and it goes in there and she enjoys that other fish that she just selected after that really fun, engaged environment at our store because it's just a fun place to go and it's just innocently, I want this fish. They put it in their tank and everything positive happens.
Right.
Like they love it.
How many fish are too many, Rick? I mean, when are people overloading a fish? How do they know that they're doing that?
Well, I hope I have enough time to answer this question. Specifically this, that when you think about the wild, okay, we are not creating the wild environment. You know, certainly the density, maybe Cardinal Tetras tribe and very dense company, but they also spread out in a very large way. So we're not recreating nature specifically. What we are doing is we're providing the right environment for which the fish can live and thrive in. And so usually it's the fish that we've selected that are in the aquarium trade are oftentimes ones that we understand compatibility. And if we play the right game as far as picking the right mates for each other, you can have a reasonably populated aquarium if you're willing to do the necessary work that goes along with it.
Which is the water changes.
Partial water changes on a regular, consistent basis. And removing the debris off the bottom of the tank on a regular, consistent basis. Well, if it's the debris falling on the bottom, that kind of is somewhat problematic. Well, if you have four times as many fish in that tank, you need to realize that you're accumulating debris on the bottom four times faster.
Right.
So where somebody has a very lightly populated tank, they might have quite a successful experience with doing a water change once a month, cleaning the bottom.
Right.
But if they have a very crowded aquarium, depending on what you consider crowded, or at least well-populated aquarium, they might need to do that once a week where they're removing 25% of the water. We never recommend more than that for the very reasons we talked about earlier.
Right.
25%. Biology. And we use what's called a gravel siphon cleaner that pulls the debris off the bottom in order to keep the tank in good, cleaning, running manner. So if you're going to put a, you know, like an automobile aquarium in your living room, the rules there are exactly the same for the rules for a 10-gallon, 20-gallon, 29-gallon aquarium. So one of the things I might recommend, even if you have the financial wherewithal to have the most unique, you know, maybe dollhouse aquarium in your daughter's, you know, bedroom,
right,
the reality is that you need to start somewhere in understanding what it is it takes. And it might start with a 29-gallon aquarium where you're keeping them successful and healthy and doing well before he has some major, you know, incredible out-of-the-box aquarium.
Right. And you talked about knowing which breeds can coexist with each other. The other thing I would think about is the size that they're going to eventually grow to.
Yeah.
Because bottom line is they may be one size when you get them, but that doesn't mean that's the size that they'll end up. And that can be an issue as well.
So size and temperament are important issues. And what we've tried to do is label fish with certain degrees of temperament, but it still is one of those things, a personal conversation to make sure they get along well. We have fish like that are called African cichlids, and African cichlids by nature have a pretty territorial instinct. I don't like to say aggressive,
right?
But territorial instinct. So we need them to be in with company of other aggressive fish. Ironically, those aggressive fish, the African cichlids, actually do better and are less problematic and less aggressive when there's lots of aggressive fish in with them, because it just kind of neutralizes. They can't own the whole tank, so they don't own any of it, and they all share back and forth.
Right. Well, Rick, even though we don't have any guests in the studio besides you this week, we still ran into our same usual problem. We're out of time, and I've still got lots of questions. So, but we're going to have to call it a day, but we will come back to this conversation. So on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Proust, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk with you again next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. And please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.